Broadcasting from the Top Dog Law Studio. Get top dollar for your accident at topdoglaw.com. That's topdoglaw.com. We are 102.5 FM, The Gambler. Nobody brings Philadelphia fans closer together like the Green Legion. From tailgates in South Philly to invading enemy territory, this group is home to the true Philadelphia sports fan. Now, their party hits the airwaves. Quimby, Michael Diaz, Chris Sacks, Slash, Super Sam, and legendary wide receiver Irving Fryer always keep the conversation going. So crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
It is Tuesday night. Welcome to Green Legion Radio Player Show, brought to you by Live Casino. Join us here at Live Casino in South Philadelphia every Tuesday night for the rest of the season. Upcoming players, guests include the Eagles' Kaiser White and Marcus Epps, back by popular demand. This is Mike Diaz for Green Legion Radio. I will be your host for the morning, for the evening. Excuse me. Maybe we'll stay here till the morning. I don't know. But before we get to the panel here, let's talk a little business. Everyone, make sure you download the iHeartRadio app. Subscribe to Fox Sports The Gambler to listen in every week throughout the season. If you're listening on the replay on the iHeartRadio app or Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, please subscribe, rate, and review. The Green Legion Radio Player Show is brought to you by our friends at Bud Light Seltzer, and Michelob Ultra, Stateside Vodka right here in Philly, Stateside Bourbon. Diaz, yeah, give me some bourbon. The Dave Bavuso State Farm team over in South Jersey, Greater Philadelphia Health Action, Bucks County Baseball Company for the best in Philly sports, authentic vintage gear and collectibles. Premier Window Cleaning, WeHateDirtyWindows.com. The Ludlum Bar and Grill in Seattle City. They had a very successful winter carnival this past holiday weekend. Sam, were you there?
I couldn't get down there. I was too busy going to the
You are no longer Seattle Sam.
Easy, Tiger.
Of course, the lovely ladies over at Cheerleaders. Jeff Quinn and his team at Echelon Health and Fitness and BetMGM. Go to our social media. You can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000 for first-time users. BetMGM. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's introduce the panel. Salesman Slash, the Gobbler. Kyle Nonamaker, what's up, my man?
Slash. What's going on? Last week was my week. Now we got to wait another 51 weeks for Gobbler week.
Oh, the Gobbler's gone.
Yep.
You okay?
I think I'll muscle through it.
You going in hiding?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hibernating.
Was the Gobbler good?
To be honest, I didn't even have it.
Too messy.
I had it like 2 years ago, and you can't have stuffing next to the roll. Like you can't have the stuffing and then the roll right on.
You
the
have meat. To put some gravy on both of them.
Well, you got
to
have it in between. Yeah. You can't have bread.
No, you put gravy on top. What's wrong with you? Put gravy on top. Come on, Dave. Tell him. You put gravy on top.
Gravy on everything.
Yeah, yeah, man.
I'll see you at the breaker.
We're gonna have to have a Gobbler special over here. Next to Slash, SSS Super Sam Brady, not CL Sam Brady anymore. Sam Ross, how you doing?
Homewrecker.
I'm good. Tom Brady lost this weekend, so I feel great.
Homewrecker.
But we saw some pictures of a new Brady. There is another. He's rising up.
I saw.
That kid's, what, 16 or something?
I went into a depression.
It'll never end.
He's too young for you, Sam.
No, but that means he's just going to... Yes, that is true. But that means there's going to be another Brady playing football, torturing my life.
Oh, I thought you meant Tom was too young for Sam.
No, I didn't mean Tom.
No. Sam's got range. Next to Sam, your host of the Eagles Insider podcast, bringing Eagles fans inside the NovaCare Complex, Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro.
Hey, guys. Glad to be back.
Great. Good to have you.
I'm great. 10-1.
We're going to have a great show today.
I'm so psyched.
There's no Quimby. We're going to have a good time.
Quimby who?
Yeah, Quimby who, exactly.
Diaz, you're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. Eagles, that was the Eagles' legendary wide receiver and host of the Fryer Place, available every Friday at noon on YouTube. The doctor, the Reverend, Mr. Irving Fryer.
Woo! Good to be here, as always.
Irv, you know, even when we don't get to do a live show because Villanova is on during our pregame show.
Right.
I still need you at the tailgates, man. I still got to see you.
Well, you didn't tell me you needed me there, so I just kind of hung out here until the game.
It's inferred. We
okay. Know. Well, I have the invitation now.
Yeah,
I know. I'll be there.
We'll talk some birds, and I know you got a lot to talk about since we didn't do that last on Sunday. So we'll get to that. Lastly, but not leastly, our Eagles player guest of the evening, defensive tackle Milton Williams.
Ooh, in the house.
In the house.
Big Milt.
Big Milt.
You know, Milton looks like a...
You can't claim him for a receiver. You want to claim everyone
he
as a receiver.
He looks like he could play wide receiver.
Milton, tough respond.
I probably could.
Yeah, see? See?
Probably not receiver. Probably would be tight end.
Though. Tight end? Okay.
Quick and agile on your feet.
Catch the ball, run guys over? Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Have you ever played offense at any level?
High school. That was the last time I played offense.
What position did you play?
Quarterback.
Wow. We got to talk about this.
Yeah, okay, we're going to get to know Milton here. And one of the things is I saw, you know, we do our fair share of snooping here. All good stuff, all above the line. No problem there. But I saw that you also played... You played hoops in high school too?
Yeah.
So like I'm like your game's got to be like Zion Williamson. Is that it? You're just like bowling people over?
I probably wasn't as good as Zion Williamson. Well, but yeah. I was definitely an enforcer on the court.
Power forward.
Oh, power forward. They bring me in, play defense, and get occasional fouls.
Every single guy that we've talked to, it was like Jack Driscoll. Yeah. It was like Cam Jurgens. You. We ask them about their basketball game, and they say, well, all I do is commit fouls and get rebounds. Can't you guys score the basket? Like, if I'm your coach, you're playing basketball, I'm posting you up, Milton. I'm developing your feet. I'm developing a little bit of a touch. I'm teaching you how to, like, drop step it and put it in the basket. They didn't do that with you?
Not really. Football was definitely my main sport. Basketball was kind of second or third, but... I scored off like the drop off pass. So we have point guards that break the man down, get to the rim. My man to come help, drop off. I make a layup.
Like a Clint Capella with the with the lobs.
Yep. And you can throw it down, I imagine, right?
Oh yeah, I can dunk.
Okay.
Well, guys like Milt, you know, that's why they give you 5 fouls in the game. You know, use all of his fouls.
All the fouls.
Yeah, use them all.
We're gonna meet Milton here. First, I gotta say this.
Not Shake Milton.
Not Shake.
Okay.
Or Milton, or D'Anthony Milton. There's a lot of Milton's. Milton's, there's a lot. First I have to say though, if you told me 20 years ago, I'd be working with Quimby, hosting a live radio show with Eagles legend Irving Fryer, Eagles insider Dave Spadaro,
me,
current Eagles player Milton Williams, I would have told you you're crazy. There's no way in hell I'd be working with Quimby. But we're all here, we're gonna have a great show. So some of these notes here, Milt. So Quimby kind of helped me out here in doing some of the bio. So if some of these sound pretty lame, because I'm looking at them that look pretty lame, but born April 6, 1999, 23 years old. Man, I'm getting old, man.
Oh, to be 23 again.
I'm glad you skipped the first one.
Yeah, pretty lame, huh? Yeah, we'll show them that during the break. From Crowley, Texas, I went on your Twitter to see this, and forgive me if I'm wrong here. Do you have a twin sister?
I do.
Okay, Mia.
So do I.
Mia.
Yeah, Mia. Okay, so I thought that I saw her. She was, you had like reposted it or whatever. She was going to a game. Listen, just so you know here what we do. We're Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler, but what we were based on, this is our 20th season. So back when you were 4 years old, we started out traveling to Eagles games. So when you're there, you know, in Arizona and you hear the crowd, and that's us. We go to every single road game. I'm making this up here, like 7 years, but we've been traveling for 20. So, you know, your sister, you got family on the road, looking for a friendly face, tailgate before the game.
Oh, yeah.
Just hit us up. We'd love to. We always host them up, and you know, your family's always welcome with us.
So. We'll do.
Yeah, can I talk about the twin sister thing?
Oh, yeah.
I also have a twin sister.
Tread lightly, Dave. He's right next to you.
I have a twin sister.
Oh, okay.
Do you feel like you're in touch with your feminine side? Like you understand women really well?
Oh,
like
man.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. Mia.
Absolutely. You guys are all laughing about it. It's true.
He's not telling a lie right here. So I have a twin sister, but I also have an older sister as well. So I grew up around them. And then my sister is like my little cheat code to talk to girls. I think.
That's smart.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
She let me know all the things to do to get them on my good side.
Wise man. Exactly. So you have an older sister and a twin sister. So you're kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
You have any brothers?
I'm a middle child.
Middle child. So am I. And I have two sisters. Faith is my oldest sister. Hope is my younger sister. And I hated it when I was growing
Why?
Up.
Why?
Oh man. Why? Because my mother would always try to dress me like my sisters. My mother made clothes. My mother's very good with a sewing machine, and back then we didn't have a whole lot of money, so she made our clothes. And particularly on Easter, we would all have the same kind of outfit on going to church. Now, I didn't wear a dress or anything like that, but the same colors, the same patterns, I would have shirt and shoes and pants just like my sisters. And anytime we went to the store, I had to go and hang out in the female store, the women's store, because I had two sisters.
I wonder, and I'm serious when I ask, like, how much bullying did you get and how terrible was, like, were people, other guys mean to you?
Well, no, they weren't mean to me. And for a while, for quite some time, my older sister was a terror. And if anybody gave me a hard time, she'd go beat him up.
Oh, man.
Milton, are you like, are deep down, you're a big, rough defensive tackle football player, big guy. Are you a softy deep down, a tender, caring, emotional guy?
Not too emotional, but...
The Titans offensive line's not listening, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, man. You were emotional in Indianapolis. I saw that nice little sack celebration. Right. Yeah, that was decent.
When I get on the football field, it's different. But off the football field, when I'm with my family, I'm a pretty family-oriented guy. But once I get on the football field, different Milton come out.
Light switch?
I want to hear about that.
Milton the monster.
Milton the monster. Yeah.
I think that to play football, you have to have a certain amount of crazy.
Yep.
You have to have a certain amount of courage and fearlessness, and the way players can flip the switch is amazing to me. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I don't think it's a flipping the switch kind of thing. I think it's inherent. I think we are who we are, and we're just able to use that and turn it on more so on the field than off the field. Because when I retired, when you were 1 year old, you were one when I retired.
Oh,
Milton.
Man.
When I retired, it took me probably, because you have to stay in a certain mindset even to work out during the off season to prepare for the season. And it took me about 5 years after I retired for that switch to turn off, for me to actually calm down and to that level of intensity to subside a little bit.
Is it something too where you obviously have to be ultra competitive in everything, but once you're competing at the highest level of these athletes in the world, it's kind of like, hey, listen, you know, now I give you a run for money in ping pong. We all know that I'm a ping pong champion. But like, the Diaz beat me in ping pong. Who cares? One, yeah. I'm going up against
every single show.
I'm going up the Tennessee offensive line on Sunday. I don't really care about the ping pong. So kind of competition goes down a little bit.
Right. My sisters would not play me in anything. And even the people in my church right now, they don't play anything with me because they know I have to win.
Oh, man.
Well, I will play till we win.
Milton, on your on the Eagles bio, and I'm sure they give you something, you got to hand it in, so they put something up there online. Your biggest pet peeve is talking too much.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I want us to get off on the right foot.
That's him right there.
And, so this is just, it's radio show, so it is all talking.
Oh, yeah.
All right, but, after show or in between breaks, I'll keep my mouth shut.
Nah,
right,
it's just like...
Milt, you can say, shut up, Diaz.
You can. There's a hashtag.
It's just like when people ramble. Like, we talk, we get the conversation.
Yeah, that's never
going,
me. Yeah.
And we stop. And they keep rambling. It's like, okay, I got you. Like, I understand.
That's right. Every word of mine is selectively chosen for maximum impact. So there's no rambling or anything like that.
You go into auto listening mode where it's just like, damn, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
A little more about Milton. Honor student in high school.
What classes?
That's what it says.
What's your brain brilliant at?
I was good at math until they start putting letters in there.
I agree, yeah. Same. What's it got to be like algebra 3 and trig? Yeah. What the heck is this?
Math was my favorite subject up until about probably freshman year of high school.
Yeah, that was me. And once we got to algebra, I was done.
Oh, yeah, algebra, it was over. I was like, oof.
Yeah.
So you looked at me confusingly. I assume that this went along with it in school. I guess your redshirt freshman sophomore year, Conference USA Commissioner's Honor Roll.
Uh-huh.
So that means you did well in school.
Oh, yeah, I did. Oh,
okay, all right.
I was okay. I'd say that. So I made sure I did my work and passed my classes. That's what my mom wanted me to do.
So what would have been plan B, Milton, had you not made it to the NFL? What were you prepared to do?
Man, I probably would have been something of a coach. Football,
so it's always been football, huh?
Football, any sport. Football, track, basketball. I like sports, and I want to be around sports.
So when did you start loving sports, Milton? Like, what got you into it? How old were you, and were you really great right away?
Man, what got me, just growing up in with my family, we always, I want to say, probably about eight, since I was probably about 8 years old. We had a basketball goal. We'd pull it up to the, in front of the house in the summertime, and a whole neighborhood would come down and we'd just hoop all night until somebody got to go, plug their car, get their car and turn their lights on so we could still be able to see. But playing basketball, started playing football at a young age. And just, it was just something in my family. We always, my dad, he had us, playing sports. My sisters, they played sports. And, we just have an athletic family. But I also, I always tell people this when they ask about my twin. They always ask who's like the better athlete. I gotta give it up to her.
She went to school with her too, college, right?
Yeah, growing up, she was definitely a better athlete.
Oh,
I feel like if she could have played football, she definitely
would. What was her sport?
She was basketball and track.
Okay.
Basketball and track.
You said earlier you played quarterback. What level of football were you playing quarterback?
I was a freshman B team.
Freshman B team. How big were you on the freshman B team in ninth grade?
They showed the high school highlights.
Oh yeah, we heard about that.
I looked so skinny, but I was my freshman year. I was probably around 6'2", probably 200. Skinny.
Jeez. I was listening to Kelsey's podcast. I forget what the name is. You know, the two Kelseys. We'll call it that. And they were saying
New Heights.
Jason was saying that you guys were all watching, and he's like, my stuff is like black and white, like grainy. Everyone else has these slick. These, you know, because you were in high school 7 years ago or whenever it was. You know, it's pretty funny. So, I want to ask you that though, because Quimby's note here, you put on 50 pounds on the course from college from when you got to the end. Were you recruited? As a DN, D tackle, or another position?
Going to college, I was recruited to play defensive end.
Okay, all right, and that's just like growing up and getting stronger. And
oh yeah, just
we'll talk about the your spider map or whatever you want to call it.
Where is Crowley, Texas, anyway?
Fort Worth. It's like a suburb of Fort Worth.
Oh really?
Yeah. Suburb of Fort Worth.
So when we go play the Cowboys, we always stay in Fort Worth. Generally, you have a lot of people who go to the Cowboys game when we play out there.
Nice.
Yeah. A little Christmas present for you this year?
When we went last year, the hotel we stayed in, it was probably like 15 minutes from my house.
Okay.
So I went home, got some good home cooking.
Nice.
That's good. I ask you this. Obviously, you know, you want to play in the NFL. Anyone that drafts you. When you're there, I'm assuming everyone's a Dallas fan around there. Did you grow up as a Dallas fan?
No.
Good man.
You could tell the truth.
Up there, so that's all fair and game, you know?
Nah, I grew up there.
You do have blue on tonight.
Oh, man, that don't mean nothing. I like my favorite color is blue.
Okay. All right.
But growing up, still a lot of my friends now, Cowboy fans, so we've been talking noise for a long time, and now they kind of in my DMs talking noise.
Nice.
So it's always fun to go against the Cowboys.
Are you going to, since you play, I don't play in the games. Since you're playing there over Christmas, you get this, are they going to give you the extra day there on Christmas to spend with your family there? No?
We'll see. I doubt it because we got to move on to the next game.
That's true.
We had our bye and our mini bye, so we on schedule.
It's full gear from here on out.
It's so funny, like
they don't give extra days to the players.
Quimby,
you got to travel with the team.
Same difference.
It's like people. So many people ask me, when you guys played the Texans, did everybody stay back to watch the Phillies and the Astros?
No.
We leave. As soon as the game ends,
we're out.
We gone.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, unless someone's lingering around or interviews.
Actually,
I have a question here. We're going to go to break pretty soon. But after the games, I mean, you feel beat up and everything like that. Do they have, like, ice tubs and stuff there for you after the game? I mean, I was soaking ice on the road.
No, not that I know.
So you don't get any training until you get back home?
Until you get back the next day, that's when you go.
Do you guys walk out of there with, like, ice wrapped around their ankles?
They definitely have ice bags. Okay. Ice tubs, because they try to get everybody out of there so we can get back to the airport.
Right. If there's
an injury or something that needs immediate attention and you play an away game, when you get back home, there's guys that will go into the locker room or go into the training room and get ice or get whatever the treatment they need and not necessarily have to wait till the next day.
Yeah, and by the way, players aren't getting into the airplane on first class luxurious seats. All the coaches and Howie and those guys, they're all in the luxurious
We're in the back.
Lounge.
We're
in Players the back. Are in the back playing cards, doing whatever they're doing, trying to stay loose or just trying to get some sleep. And then waking up and everybody crams into these buses. It goes from the tarmac to the parking lot at Atlantic Aviation, and then you're off. You're off.
Well, we're going to talk with Milton and hear more terrible stories of Dave on the road, just hating his life, hating his
I love it. It's a fantastic life.
We're at live.
You don't have to fly with Russell Wilson.
You don't sit in first class, Dave?
No.
You don't sit in first class?
No.
Oh, we have to talk to him about that.
This is Green Legion Radio. We're at Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, voted the best casino in Pennsylvania. Check out Game Days at Live. Make Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia your game day destination. Whether home or away games, head to Center Bar and Sports and Social to watch the game. Enjoy food and drink specials, giveaways, contests, and more, like Ron Jaworski's $100,000 football challenge. Make your picks against Ron Jaworski each week for your chance to win a share of $100,000 in prizes. FanDuel Sportsbook, win tickets to the big game. Single wager of $25 plus on any big game futures bet with minimum odds of plus 300 at the FanDuel Sportsbook for your chance to win big tickets to the big game. You must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit livecasinophilly.com for details. We'll be right back with Milton Williams right after this.
This is Peanut Tillman, and I'm Roman Harper. My boy Peanut and I are here because we've teamed up to bring you the brand new NFL Players Second Acts podcast. Each week, we'll chop it up with the NFL's biggest legends about how they're thriving in their post-NFL second acts. Catch the NFL Players Second Acts podcast with me, Peanut Tillman.
And me, Roman Harper, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's John Jantz for the Bet Parks Sportsbook app, and there was World Soccer Match Madness across the world, plus pro football as well. And don't forget college and pro hoops as well, and there's hockey too. What a time to be a sports fan. So join Bet Parks with me now. It's the only casino and sportsbook app I recommend, and there is live in-game betting, and you can bet on the action as it happens. New users can get up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet is not a winner. BetParks.com has all the terms and conditions. Must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you or someone you love has been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Get Live Casino Philadelphia, Green Legion Radio Player Show with our special guest, Eagles defensive end Milton Williams.
Eagles defensive tackle?
Tackle, excuse me. I'm reading the wrong thing. My bad.
Defensive actually, but
that's Quimby's fault.
Williams.
That's Quimby's fault.
But a little bit of both, Milton. You consider yourself a defensive lineman the way things are working out. You're playing a little bit of both.
Definitely. I feel like I can play any spot on the defensive line, wherever they need me at, and go out there and get the job done.
So are you better? Would you say you're better at stopping the run, or you're better at rushing the passer?
Right now, I feel like I'm a better run stopping the pass rusher.
You know, at the NovaCare Complex in the auditorium, there are four pictures of players. Okay? Got it. We got Tommy McDonald over here. We got Chuck Bednarik over there. We got Steve Van Buren over here. And in the back left, the greatest Eagle of all time. Maybe the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL.
Reggie White.
Now, Irv played at a time when Reggie White...
We came out in the same class.
Yeah. Do you have any recollection or have you ever seen any video of Reggie White?
I've probably seen Reggie White like... I used to watch NFL Network, like, before my Little League games. I wake up because I'd be nervous, and I'd just be waiting on the game. I'd be playing, like, 3 o'clock, so I'd be watching NFL Network all day. So it'd have, like, a top 10 plays or top 10 defensive linemen or, you know, they just have all kind of things like that. So that's probably what the first time I saw Reggie White.
And so, like, by today's standards, he wouldn't really be that big, right, Irv? Like, he was... probably 6... Oh, maybe, like, he was 6'3", 290.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Crazy power,
but he had
crazy speed.
Strength. Yes,
was that what it was? Is that what separated him?
Yes, he had power and strength, and he knew how to use it. He knew how to leverage himself, get up underneath that offensive lineman, and get to the quarterback.
And could also play inside, could also play outside. Right. And I think, would you agree that he's the best defensive player certainly in Eagles history? B-Doc's up there.
In my opinion, yes, Reggie is the best football player. Period. That I've ever seen, that I've ever played with.
He's just tossing guys one arm, you know, left tackles, right tackles. Well, what side did he play?
He played left side, but they moved him around a little bit. Okay. And it didn't matter because he would just club guy. I mean, I think it was just the club move was like, was his big move.
It didn't matter where he was at.
It didn't matter. So, but by today's, like, in your world now, Milton, how many moves do you have? How many do they teach you to have? Like, how many moves does a defensive lineman have in a pass rush situation?
you need to just, you really, three moves.
Go ahead, you can show me.
The first move, have
yeah,
a...
Do it on him.
Yeah, do it on him. Right in front of us here, we got some room here.
Have a primary move, so like a quick move, like a swipe or a swim, something like that. So then you got to have a counter move. So if they stop that one, then use your counter move. So spin, jab, you know, add something to it. So and then the third move. So if they stop both of them, you wait, come back the next time, and then you try to figure out how they setting you. Offensive lineman, they jump setting, they faking their hands and things like that. So you just got to try to pick up on guys and watch a lot of tape and things like that.
I actually have a question about that as a fan here, and I know there's a lot of tape. You watch tape all week long and tape on your next opponent. And the longer that you're in the league, you'll have more experience with them, you know, personally, one-on-one. But, I mean, when everyone's watching tape, do you have to come up with something new, like, all the time? Or, like you said, your first two moves, your counter, and then something come up. But, you know, you've been in the league now 2 years. Mm-hmm. We're expecting you to be in the league for 10 years. They're going to have a lot of tape on you and what you like to do. And then, hey, I'm the left guard or right guard or wherever you're lining up against. And I know what I'm successful with you. You're watching tape on me to beat me. Like, how much of that tape is it, or is it more like I'm just bigger, better, you know, faster, stronger?
So it's a copycat league. So we watch film. I watch other D tackles too. Go against the guys I'm going to play against. So if they killing them with a move, I'm going to do the same move to try to kill them too. You know what I'm saying? So it's just things like that, looking at it from a film perspective.
And I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but whether you're playing as a defensive lineman or whether you're playing as a wide receiver, once you beat your opponent once or twice, now you have him guessing. You have him trying to change his game up to try to fit into what, or to try to stop you or what you're doing. Now you have him set up to do really anything you want to do.
Definitely, definitely. Once you beat your guy one on one,
right?
You're gonna have him guessing, like you just said. He don't know if I'm gonna go power, if I'm gonna go speed, if I'm gonna jab him, fake going inside, come back out. I got him at my mercy.
And he got beat.
Yeah,
he got beat, so he's guessing.
I'm not sure. Have we had a defensive lineman on the player show?
We had Vinny Curry like 3 years ago, 2019, when we were at the old spot.
Okay.
I think so.
So take us inside the trenches here. In college, Louisiana Tech, Milton, I mean, you are a bigger, faster, stronger, better athlete, better player than guys at that level.
Mm.
So your moves aren't really refined at that point?
Mm.
So how do you win in the NFL? Is it a combination of leverage and then executing your moves? I mean, is it how do you win?
I feel like I have an advantage inside using my speed, but then like everybody like, well, he undersized for his position. Well, I got power too that they think I don't have for some reason. So I can use speed to power. I can go inside, go outside. And it just depends. Like on the inside, I feel like I got an advantage of my change of direction versus the guards. But then outside, I feel like I got enough speed to play defensive end. But then with my power, I got an advantage against going against smaller tackles.
So is there how much of the time will you just bull rush somebody?
It depends on how they're blocking me.
Or how they're setting on you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It just depends on how they're setting me. If they're sitting back kind of just waiting to see if I'm going to jab them or if I'm going to throw a fake or anything, then I'll just go hit them right in their chin.
So if I can take you back to the combine. You had a great combine.
Yeah.
And
no combine. They
I mean, I'm sorry, pro day. Pro day, not combine. Pro day, yes. You had the pro day in Frisco, actually. Mm-hmm. Used to live in Plano, right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually set a few records with speed, three cone drill and the shuttle.
Yeah.
You set records for defensive tackle.
Yeah.
What is it that you did to prepare for the pro day, your pro day? And is that what you're still doing now, like you said, using your speed and your athletic ability?
Oh, coming out, I knew that I was not being cocky or whatever, but I just knew I know what I could do, and I know that I was going to be one of the fastest defensive tackles. So that was just focusing on going to the right place, getting the right training. So trusting my agent, a trainer in Frisco with Brent Calloway at Exos, and he got me right.
Do you work on speed? And if you do, what do you do? I mean, do you go on a track and run hundreds and 200s?
No. So once I got to Exos, no technique. Just pure running. We ran a 40. I ran 4.9. So then that's when Brent come in. He teach you all the
the techniques and things to kind of cheat the system and things like that. Right. To get your hands right, make sure you launch in and taking the right amount of steps, posture, arm angles, and things like that. And so we train in the mornings, and then we lift it almost every day during that whole process.
Nice.
73rd pick in the 2021 draft, at a time when the country was in the middle of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Going into the draft, Milton, did you feel you were going to go that high? What was your draft party scene like?
What was your experience? Yeah.
You weren't able to visit teams. So do you think that helped you, hurt you, didn't have an impact? Like, give me the whole draft experience. They say that it is the craziest experience going from the end of your college football playing days to the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm. No, it definitely is. But, like I said, it wasn't a combine. So I feel that kind of not messed me up, but I feel like I could have went higher if I would have had the combine.
If you could compete against everybody, yeah, everyone, apples there, to apples.
That was my whole thing coming out when I'm talking to my agent, because like you said, small school, they think, you know, he undersized. We got to see what he can do. So I'm like, okay, where are all the SEC, Big 10, Big 12, where are all the top guys going to train at? Because I want to go train with them and show them that I ain't no
You're right in there, right?
Yeah, so that was my whole thing. I heard first round whispers once all my numbers came out, but I had my draft party on day two because I was kind of expecting to go that day. So I guess you could say it all worked out.
It worked out.
Did you watch the first round?
Oh, definitely.
Did you sit there and like gnaw your fingernails? And did you like, what was your mindset?
I was just watching, man, just to, I didn't know what to expect. I've been watching the draft for a long time, and for my name to be entered into it, and just going through it was kind of just a little nerves, but kind of just watching, you know, just waiting to see what was going to happen.
Who was at your draft party? Tell me what happened when you got drafted. I love hearing these kind of stories.
Man. Oh, a lot of family, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandmother, family, friends. I remember watching the board. It was saying the best available players, and I was the next name on the list. So watching that, and then just sitting there, I think I was talking to my dad. I was just looking through some of the picks, like, man, I probably could have went here. This team said this and that, da 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 da. And my phone started ringing. So my phone started ringing, and I think it said something Pennsylvania.
215.
Something Pennsylvania, and I'm like, everybody talking about, everybody, be quiet. I don't know what's happening. This might be it right here. So I answer the phone. It's Howie, and Howie was like, hey, how you doing? Is Howie Roseland, da da da. We're gonna take you with this pick. Are you excited to be an Eagle? I was like, yes, sir. No, trying to be tough or whatever.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
and then he asked me, you don't sound like you're fired up, man. You sure you're ready to be an Eagle? And it just, everything just came out. Tears flowing, nice. Crying.
You tied to this feminine side.
Family. That's good. Feminine side. Nah, family everywhere.
That's a moment that you should be able to express yourself. That's a moment that changes your life.
Oh, yeah. Life changer for sure.
Changes your life, yeah.
I got a dumb question about this. When you were there and Howie called you, did they have like an Eagles hat for you to put on there?
No.
Okay.
No.
I was wondering, like, when you have a party like that, do you just buy all the hats? And then you keep the one and you return the rest. I always wondered how that works.
I didn't want to do that. So this one, my mom just got like 32 cupcakes with each team, small helmet each one.
That sounds like my kind of party.
Whichever team picked me, that's the cupcake they gave me. Everybody ate the rest.
Oh, that's a good idea of doing it.
Who ate the Cowboys one?
Oh, they probably threw that one in.
Good answer.
You have to learn. You have to learn a new word, and your favorite word needs to become no.
Oh yeah,
because people start coming out of the woodwork, phone calls, people trying to reach you've never seen before.
Definitely.
High school buddies, hey, remember I was your friend back in high school. You should do this for me. You should do that for me.
Do they come after your friends? Have you found guys that your friends come after your money?
Not really. My guy, I got a small circle, so them guys they know what it is.
And plus, you're big, too. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any problems.
Tread lightly.
Going back to when we were talking about there was no combine for you to participate, I just I saw this, and this might have thrown me off from that defensive end, defensive tackle snap who I just went through. But you had scored on this real athletic score for some, what people don't know. It's like a, they measure all the types of different measurables from speed and agility and broad jump and high jump and all that stuff. Strength, obviously. 500 pound club man over here. Bench of 500 pounds.
Yeah. You mean you pointed me when that happened?
No, I think he pointed me. Nah. He scored a 9.98 real athletic score out of a possible 10. That's ranked fourth out of 1,325. This says defensive ends, but defensive tackles from 1987 to 2021. I mean, you were like the fastest, the strongest, the most athletic guy in four drafts.
Mm-hmm.
They got another guy, Jordan Davis, was like this past year was like a touch higher.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of level we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Here. So, you know, they say that they don't know your power. His pinned tweet on Twitter is, and benching 500 pounds. I was like, oh, man, this guy's a big dude.
And then you get, you know, I've been around for a long time, and then we write all about that and how great this athlete. And then when you get them into camp, you go, can this great athlete play football?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so great about Milton. So let's talk about learning the NFL way. Yeah. What does it take to be a successful NFL defensive lineman?
Man, you got to be tough, number one. You got to be technique sound. You got to be strong. And you got to have IQ to know what's coming. So you can tell different blocks, power to play, to run, play. Because them guys get paid on the other side of the ball, too.
Right,
these some big dudes.
A lot of fans in here from Philly, they don't understand the other team gets paid, too.
Oh, no. it's some serious.
You guys are 10-1.
It's not easy to win in the NFL. They got some serious athletes on these teams and big guys. So power definitely comes into effect, especially when you're holding up 600 pounds when you get double teamed in the run game.
You talk about, Dave just asked you about, what does it take to play as a defensive tackle in the NFL? You came in 40% of the plays, defensive snaps. You played your rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a defining, that lets us know right there that you were prepared, that you have what it takes to play coming in as a rookie and playing 40% of the defensive snaps. How do you think you played your rookie year? And how do you think you're playing up to this point so far this year?
I mean, I always say I'm my own biggest critic. I mean, I felt like I played good, but I definitely feel like I left some plays out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a pretty good rookie season. This year, it's okay. I feel like I've been playing better the last couple of weeks, but I'm still trying to just try to get better each and every week. And when I get the opportunity, try to make the most of them.
Does it make your job easier now that you have a plethora of these formidable defensive tackles, defensive linemen? I mean, they just brought in Sue and Joseph. These are guys who have experience. Does that help you in any kind of way?
Definitely. Just being in the meeting room with these guys when they're just talking about certain things, what they looking at. You know, they might be looking at something different than what I'm looking at. And like I said, these guys been playing for so long, so it's nothing about the game that they don't know. Right. So just listening to them, I'm taking notes. I'm going to talk to them. Each one I'm on the side, we're walking through. I'm asking them, all right, what you doing in this situation? What you looking for? What you eating? If they do this, what you do for recovery? You know, all that stuff. So there's definitely stuff that helps me, and I want to add to my game so I can have a long career as well.
Cool. We're going to take a break right here, but we want to talk about your current defensive line room because there's a lot of new faces on there.
Oh, and yeah.
Your
10-1 record.
Got a 10-1 record. And
wait, really?
Milton's career so far. But before we do, don't hang out alone in the man cave for football this season. / try hanging out at cheerleaders.
I'll try not to.
Hanging out at cheerleaders with sexy entertainers, $4 Miller Lights, Jameson specials, and awesome game day prizes during all Sunday and Monday football games. That's right. Stop in before, during, or after the game, not only to see your favorite entertainers, but also your chance to win an awesome game day prize. The most epic game day experiences at Cheerleaders Gentlemen's Club, where champions play. Cheerleaders open daily from noon until 2 a.m. This is the Green Legion Radio Player Show. We're here at Live Casino with Eagles defensive tackle Milton Williams. We'll be right back after this.
This is Peanut Tillman, and I'm Roman Harper. My boy Peanut and I are here because we've teamed up.
We are back on the Green Legion Radio Player Show live from Live Casino. We are here with our special player guest of the week, defensive tackle Milton Williams. He's just getting situated here. He's Signing some autographs for the fans.
He's
and
eating.
Oh, he's eating. Want, he just wanted to get give him a bite.
Yeah, give him a second.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to give him. Hey, we can stall.
No flex out.
Yes, yeah, so I just asked, during the break.
No flex.
I asked Dave for some super secret news that was just became public.
Super secret Sam, break the news.
Sam, it is Taco Tuesday here at Live Casino. I'd like a mahi-mahi if they have barbacoa. Can you run with that? I don't want any special marmalade sauce or anything on there. Just
what is barbacoa?
Mel and I look small, but you're about to see me level him.
Yeah.
You're still here, Sam?
Yeah, right?
Club technique.
Sam, would you like to break the news? It's probably good news for Milton, too, since he's playing in the game.
No, the game's not flexed, so...
What game, Sam? Let's be descriptive. It's radio.
The Giants game.
The Giants game. The first Giants game on the road. We are the Eagles are still going to be playing at 1 o'clock, which means we will be going. We were afraid they were flexing that game. You know, Giants Eagles NFC East battle. That's just prime for a flex flex to later. We're not getting home at 3:30 in the morning from that. So we're going to be going to Giants Stadium. It looks like, or MetLife Stadium.
I think, I don't know, Milton. You tell me. Like, night games, it's great. You're on national TV. Everybody's watching. It's fun.
Hate night games.
But, man, they kick your butt so hard. We played five primetime games already. How do you feel about it? Does it kick your butt?
I like.
Do you?
I like the late night game. Because,
oh, no.
Well, the only thing I will say, if it's away, you get back really late.
Right? Yeah.
Or early, right? 6 a.m., 5 a.m. the next day. Yeah.
So Sunday night, the Eagles play Packers. Mm-hmm. What time do you get home?
Oh, well, I ain't get home. I probably go home at like 1 o'clock. Oh. There's traffic after the game. Okay. But as far as before the game, I like to get up, eat breakfast, stretch a little bit, and then I like to get a pregame nap. So when you play late like that, I can get a good 2-3 hour nap in and be refreshed, ready to go.
That's fair. You don't go out and have a soda or anything after the game with the guys?
No. Might do a little something like that.
I hear
a little bubbly.
Well, we're happy here. We love defensive and offensive line talk here. You're the first defensive lineman we've had on the show this year.
Okay.
You guys, you know, it's one of the strengths of the team. Everybody knows it, and you're a big part of that. With the additions that we got here, I mean, I made the joke, it's like a 2016 All-Pro team here. You know, not saying these guys don't have anything left in the tank. They still do. But... playing with these guys, playing with Fletch, you know, he's an all-timer here. I don't know how much you know Sue or Linval Joseph, but you know, what's it like working with these guys? I mean, you got to step your game up, but what kind of, you know, what do you learn from them just being in the room with them?
Man, to compete, you know, you see, like I said, I've been watching these guys play for their whole career, so being in the same room with them is kind of like surreal a little bit. But once you get out there on the practice field, on the game field, it's like you gotta show that you ain't no slouch either. So it's like they did what they did in their career, but okay, well now what are you gonna do? You know what I'm saying? How you gonna respond?
Yeah.
When you get to the NFL, you have to learn really how to watch film a different way. How do you watch film? What are some tips that you've learned? How much has Fletcher Cox helped you in the 2 years you've been here?
Oh yeah, all these guys definitely helped me. Fletch, Hargrave, Brandon Hargrave, Graham, yeah. Derek Barnett, these guys, we all watch film together, and just, when I watch certain guys, I like to look at their stance, see if they got any pads and run tails. That's the biggest thing. You can really look at the tackle. Well, it depends on tackle or guard. So most of the time when it's run, the guard's being 3-point, or in pads, they're getting a 2-point. But if you look at the tackles, that most of the time they standing up on all the plays, so you got to look and see if their foot is at they feet at the same if they got base feet or if they got one foot like kick back ready to kick back for a pass.
Right.
So I look at things like that. I look at how they blocking, and then once you get in the game, like this pass game, you can kind of see you can kind of tell what's coming with their terminology. And they sometimes they give it away with their eyes too, so you can just look at that. I feel like I picked up on some of that stuff with my time in the league so far.
That's good.
Were you a fan of defensive linemen before you got to the NFL? In other words, like Fletch and Sue, and really Joseph to a degree. These guys, I mean, I know nobody plays Madden football with the defensive linemen, but they're like legendary names.
Milton does.
No, I definitely do.
Oh yeah, do you?
Definitely. Me and my guys, we still get on Madden and kind of do the fantasy draft. make the league, get all the players, put them in a pool, and just draft them like that.
I like that.
I kind of, now that I'm in the league, I always try to go pick myself before they steal me.
First four picks, D-line.
But what is it like? I mean, Sue is, were you like a huge fan of Ndamukong Suh before he became a Philadelphia Eagle?
I was a fan of all these guys. Like I said, watching them and just knowing what they've done in their career and the things that they accomplished, being all pro, Pro Bowl, Super Bowl. There's some of the things I'm going to accomplish in my own career. So it's good to have them, and I want to try to steal as much from them as I can.
We've had a lot of players on this week, every week, and they're great guys. Pascal and Covey and Calcaterra was on last week. Everybody seems to be grounded. What do you do to keep yourself grounded?
Man, I tell myself all the time, control what you can control. Everything else, if it's out of your control, you can't really worry about it or stress about it. As long as you control the things in your life that you have control over, you can be all right.
Milton, the Eagles are 10-1, and I wondered, did you think that this team would be as good coming into the season as it has become?
Yeah, I thought we were pretty good last year, but especially this year for sure with all the guys that Howie brought in. But then, the game is won in the trenches. And you look at our offensive line, best in the league. And you look at our defensive line, best in the league. So, that's where the game is won right there. So,
when you've worked against Kelce a lot in practice, I would imagine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why he's so great.
He is a savvy veteran, so he gets away with stuff that a lot of guys don't, or that they don't know how to do. But he still can move. He's still fast. He's still strong.
That's great.
He got his little techniques. He'll grab you. He'll hold you inside where the ref can't see it, so they ain't gonna call up. He'll grab you around the waist and try to act like that savvy vet move that the ref ain't gonna call. But he definitely still.
That was one of my questions I was gonna have for you. Have you noticed and share with us going against? Every recap, the Eagles' offensive line is the best in the league, and it's kind of like we kind of expect that. And last year, they're not the top line; they're top three line. Have you noticed a difference? I know you're going practice speed versus game speed, but practice against those guys and then getting into a game. I'm not saying it's easier, but you find like, man, going up against those guys all the time prepares you
better
against a weaker offensive line.
Definitely, in training camp is. Yeah, we're going like it's game time. So getting them reps, one-on-ones, team, going against them guys, it definitely gets you prepared to go against other offensive lines. Because you look at these guys, we got some of the biggest guys in the league that can move as well. Run block, pass block, it don't matter. They get it done. As you see Sunday with 360 yards rushing? Come on.
Yeah, actually, this is later, but, this is the second all-time rushing performance by the Eagles. And out of the top seven, there's only three that have happened, including last game, since 1990. They're all back in, the Truman and Roosevelt FDR's administration.
When all they did was run.
Game high, 45 passing yards.
We only have a couple minutes left here. Milton.
Slash has one.
Yeah, I was just going to ask a question. Sorry. Yeah, we talked about 10-1. In order to be 11-1, you went right to it. Games are won in the trenches. And there's a huge emphasis on that this week against arguably the best running back in the league, Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've watched film so far. What do you think of this guy coming in?
Oh, Derrick Henry, he definitely a monster. But like I said, I feel like all running backs are the same when they ain't got nowhere to go.
So the key in what Cincinnati did so well on Sunday, 17 carries, 38 yards, you got to get him before he starts and penetrate in the backfield.
Yeah. Penetration from the defensive line kills all run plays, and they get the linebackers behind you free flow.
But the man is 245. He runs a 4.6 40. I mean, he's a freak.
Oh, beast for sure. Yeah. Beast for sure. So we definitely gonna have to come to practice ready to work and be prepared for the challenge on Sunday.
It's gonna be a big one. Milton, this is the first time you've been on the show. You're always welcome back. But before you go, I just wanted to ask you: have you heard of the Green Legion Radio Bump? Has anyone told you about this?
No.
Okay, so this is how it goes here.
The bump.
I don't know, what it is. It started in 2019, Boston Scott in Buffalo. He was on the show the week before, scored his first touchdown. I don't know. There's some karma, something about this show. And you agreed to come on, which is great. Something's going to happen on Sunday. You're going to make a play. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a sack, and a tackle for fumble, loss, force fumble, interception, even toss. I don't know. You make a good play. Are you a Mercedes guy?
I got a Escalade, but I'll do.
Oh, okay, like, Escalade.
I like Mercedes.
Ooh, okay, well, this is the deal. Now,
Quimby, good answer.
Quimby, our regular host and the owner of the Green Legion. Yeah, he's got a Mercedes. So what we like to do to the guys that come on the show, you make a good play like that, and you know we're the judges of that. You know, a sack or a tackle for loss,
sack, fumble,
force fumble, something like that.
Derrick Henry.
Something like that. You get the Mercedes for a week.
Okay,
is that a good deal?
He said, okay, good.
You make a play after the this actually happened a few seasons ago. You make a good play like that. You find Dave in the locker room after the game, and Dave will make sure.
Oh, I'll find him.
Yeah, okay.
Dave will have the keys on hand and just you know.
Oh yeah,
I want to pass him out. I want to give that car away.
Yeah, we try to do it as much as possible, just for him, especially when he's not here.
Yeah.
So anyway, Milton. Thank you so much for coming
Milton
on the show.
Milton Williams.
Thank you for the tackle.
Fun.
Fix some ass this Sunday.
Got to.
Let's go.
Sir. Yes, sir. All over the field.
11-1, baby.
We are here. Green Legion Radio, Green Legion Radio Player Show at Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. Let's talk upcoming entertainment in the event center here at Live Casino. December 9th, Jefferson Starship. December 10th and 11th, Matt Frazier, a psychic medium. The Soul Town to Motown Holiday Show, Sunday, December 18th. Party with Dorinda on New Year's Eve, Saturday, December 31st. Dorinda Medley from the Real Housewives of New York City. The Best of the Eagles tribute band, Friday, January 20th. Bobby Collins comedian, Saturday, February 18th. Visit livecasinophilly.com to purchase tickets. Thank you so much, defensive tackle Milton Williams. We'll be right back on the player show on Fox Sports The Gambler.
MyPhilly.house will help you buy or sell your home in Roxborough and Manayunk, providing every client with unparalleled professionalism and breakthrough marketing strategies.
Get top dollar for your accident at topdoglaw.com. That's topdoglaw.com. We are 102.5 FM, The Gambler.
The Green Legion Radio Player Show live at Live Casino on Fox Sports, The Gambler. We're here for our second hour. We had a great time with Eagles defensive tackle Milton Williams.
He's still working over there.
He's still working. And Sam's making sure that everyone's going to treat him exactly the way that they're supposed to treat him.
Well, if they don't treat him right, I think he can handle that himself.
Yeah, but when you have Sam, you have Sam Ross.
You got to have that extra security blanket, you know.
The Eagles, 10-1, first place in the NFC East, and have a 1.5-game lead for the NFC's first overall seed. We're going to talk a little about that Packers game.
And they scored 30 points way too quick.
We want Didn't to look like at it. The no Negadelphia on this show today.
No, I think it's fair.
They scored too fast.
I think it's fair to talk about some of the things about this football team.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We will. And we're going to look at the Titans and go around the NFL. But I'm going to pull in Andy Reid and want to start out with some injuries. We're lucky enough to have Eagles insider Dave Spadaro on the show. Dave, you know, whatever you can share here, guys. I think this is the biggest concern or threat to this Eagles team right now, at least for getting that number one seed in the next 6 weeks.
Well, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is the big question, and reportedly a lacerated kidney.
Yeah.
The Eagles have not addressed that specifically, but Jonathan Gannon did talk about him being out, and nobody really knows how long that will be, and getting Reed Blankenship ready to go. I mean, terrible injury. It looked awful, very painful, but we really don't know the extent of it. So for the foreseeable future, the Eagles are going to go with Blankenship, Kayvon Wallace, and no C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and that's a big loss.
Huge loss.
Now, I will tell you that in the run game, Blankenship, you know, as it looks like for Sunday, Blankenship is a really physical safety. So, you know, there's a bit of a silver lining there. Otherwise, you know, Avante Maddox is still a week away. Jordan Davis is eligible to come off IR. We don't know if he'll, but I imagine we'll find out tomorrow for sure if he practices. Dickerson came out late in the game with a foot injury, something he's been battling all season. I don't sense that that's a big concern, but you know, Andre
foot
Dillard.
Foot injury on an offensive lineman is, you know.
Yeah, Andre Dillard. That's something he's been just dealing with it all years, but he's been kind of in and out all season. Andre Dillard finished up and seemed to do a good job.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off there. That was a huge. Wait a minute.
He's been playing inside.
He has been?
Yeah.
I mean, I, you know, and he came into camp from what the reports were, you know, great shape physically, mentally, ready to go. Before it was always the hesitation either on his part or the coaching staff to move him inside there. So that was a surprise when we saw him there on Sunday night.
Yeah. So I mean, look, he's definitely bigger, stronger. Look, and Tennessee, we talk about Tennessee as an offensive threat and Derrick Henry. Their defensive front is no joke.
No, yeah.
Jeffrey Simmons is a superstar, and the Eagles are gonna have to be really stout and really great up front.
Sean Evans.
Yeah. They're just a really good team defensively.
Their defense.
Very hard. They play very physically. I'm not sure they can cover as well on the back end, and that might be where the Eagles kind of train their offensive philosophy, but they're a defense that's, I think they've allowed 20 or fewer points or 20 or fewer points in 8 straight games.
Yeah, 20 was the most. They got blown out by Buffalo week 2.
Yeah.
But they've given up 22 points and then everything was 20 or less since. So, you know, that's a tough defense. You know, and they've been strong against the run. The one note you remember Teron Davenport when he was here.
Yeah.
He now covers the Titans beat for ESPN. And there was a tweet or something like that, and he had mentioned, I don't know if it was someone in-house or if it was his take, though, said something like, you know, this is how you lose games. You can't run the ball. They ran for 6 yards. And you can't stop the run. And they gave up 103 rushing yards. And when you say 103 rushing yards is can't stop the run, you know that that's a team that has, high-quality rush defense, because it's like, oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, but Cincinnati did a really good job of keeping the football away from Tennessee and controlling the clock, slowing down the game. And then the defense did a great job of not allowing Ryan Tannehill to get anything going with play-action passing. And, Tennessee's a really limited offensive team. If Derrick Henry, who has not done much in the last 3 games, if he can't get going, they really just struggle. They were 0 of 3 in the red zone. So Tennessee's coming into town with some offensive question marks.
I think Tannehill's, he was banged up with a knee or a foot.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
But it was like 3 weeks. No, he was out for those games. He's kind of been battling it. But then he supposedly re-aggravated. We don't have any injury reports. They won't come out until tomorrow.
But even if he's healthy or not, ever since the A.J. Brown trade, they just are a huge question mark, like Dave said, especially in the passing game. I know they drafted Treylon Burks, who seems like he could be a decent player, but
he vultured Derrick Henry's touchdown on Sunday.
Yeah, it just doesn't make up for what they lost in that trade.
Well, they're
for A.J. Brown.
Obviously less effective when Derrick Henry is not successful running the ball, because their game is in the passing game is play action.
Yeah,
when Derrick is running the ball well, gaining yards. Tannehill's able to fake the ball to him and hit guys downfield.
And
so,
Tannehill's mobile enough that right. play action rollout works well for him for misdirection on defense and
right.
gets guys open with time.
Exactly. So the key to the game for the Eagles is to stop the run, just like teams have been doing the last 3 weeks against the Titans.
So let's talk about that. Do you guys feel that the Eagles are well equipped in this situation? Last week Sunday night, gave up some yards early and then once again stopped the Green Bay run game. And it's just like this weird pattern where those couple of series early, teams are gashing, and then the Eagles make the adjustments. And A, it helps to play with a lead, which I think is really important. And B, they just play better against the run, Irv.
Well, what was a little bit concerning to me was when there were a few times Green Bay, when they were running the ball successfully, Green Bay was running the ball successfully against the 5-man front that the Eagles had on the field. So I can understand when we have 4 up front and we're a little more vulnerable to the run. I can understand that. But with our 5-man front up there against an offensive line, we should be more capable of stopping the run. And Green Bay had some success against our 5-man front.
Yeah, I always think, you know, fans speaking, I'm not in the building and I don't know half as much about football as you do, Eric, but like, man, I just would rather sell out against the run. And you know, if they get a couple big plays, through the passing game, which I don't think they're going to do. But if that's what you're giving them, quote unquote, I just think it'll be a whole lot easier on the defense, and you know, and then getting stops, getting the ball back into the offense's hands. You know, Jonathan Gannon has, you know, the whole defense that frustrates a lot of fans is the, I don't want to say it's prevent, but they do not give up big plays. They just, they don't, they're second in the league.
Well, they gave up one the other night. Christian Watson
had a catch and run. Yeah.
Well, that's Gannon's defense. You know, four man front, let's create a shell in the back to keep, or behind the front, to keep the ball from getting over anybody's head to stop or to, you know, minimize any big plays.
And if, you know, Treylon Burks has started kind of slow, you know, he's got talent, obviously, but he's not like the Christian Watson. Burner kind of guy. And, you know,
he's a go up and get the 50-50s.
Yeah, and Ryan Tannehill.
You have an aging Robert Woods coming off a really bad injury. So, again, another non-burner there. So it's just, not to cut you off, Diaz, yeah. I just want to say, if there's a game where you are going to miss like a C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Avante Maddox, obviously, you don't want a game where you miss them, but if you do, I would want it to be a game like this where it's against a run-heavy, run-first offense.
And you want a guy like Blankenship in there who is aggressive
and physical, yep.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Dave, this. Going back to last game here, the Packers game, Jalen Hurts sets the Eagles' quarterback rushing record with 157 yards on 17 carries. It'd be nice to have gotten the extra, whatever, 20 yards or what it was. But then he throws 16 for 28 for 153, two touchdowns, no interceptions. You on the sideline during the game? I mean, what's the are the defensive players? Is people just saying, "Wow"? I mean, this is the greatest quarterback play we've seen.
So there's only three quarterbacks who have ever had 150 rushing and 150 passing in history, and that's Hurts, it's Vic, it's Lamar Jackson. And yeah, I mean, you catch players watching the scoreboard, the video boards, a lot more when Jalen is running, and you could just see from the very beginning, third play of the game, drops backs, third and 10, there's a little bit of a crease, and he's out in the middle, you know, dancing and making guys miss for a 24-yard gain. And then there's a designed run for 28 yards, whatever, reverse those, I'm not sure. And it was just over and over and over. And I think at this point, though, everybody's kind of expecting it from Jalen. You know, at the end of the day, like, I don't know how far the Eagles are going to go this season. But the biggest question was, is Jalen Hurts a franchise quarterback? We all talked about that coming into the year. Does anybody have any questions about that anymore?
No.
I never had a question about it. You never heard it come out of my mouth.
The one question will be winning in the playoffs. Now, I think where he's improved the most is from the pocket. He's gotten a lot better. I still don't see that from Lamar Jackson. I'll never trust Lamar Jackson. But do you guys feel that way, that in the playoffs, should the Eagles get there? They're like 99% sure.
Dave, we're playing a home NFC championship game over here. Dave,
I think winning some playoff games will put the nail in the coffin.
Right. It's a different game in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. The intensity rises. I mean, you lose, you go home. So it makes a big difference. You know, one of the reasons we're, you know, touting Jalen for all the yardage that he got on the ground, one of the reasons that happened this week was because the Green Bay Packers were doing something that teams normally don't do against the Eagles' offense. They were playing man-to-man. They did have a spy on Jalen. Obviously, Jalen embarrassed him. But when Jalen takes off running out of the backfield and the defensive backs are playing man-to-man, they have their backs to the quarterbacks. And that's why he was able to get, you know, 20 yards before you even saw a defensive player in the picture, was because they're running down the field with the wide receivers with their backs playing backs to the line of scrimmage, playing man-to-man coverage. And teams cannot do that and have not done that against the Eagles because Jalen's such a big threat to run the ball.
It was so surprising watching them run the ball where all this rushing yards, you know, it wasn't like a Derrick Henry. There wasn't 5 90-yard touchdown runs. It was just 20 yards, 11 yards, 12 yards, 7 yards,
yeah,
6 yards,
15 times.
Yards. Right. And, it, you know, I mean, I'm sure I'm exaggerating. There was probably a couple, you know, stops at the line and stuff like that, short yards. But, I mean, there was these wide open holes. And they didn't, it took them they were scoring the ball on us. I think, well, I'd like to talk about special teams here because that's a
special teams.
Are we going to talk about special teams?
Let's do it to that next segment. Let's do the whole
thing. Special teams? Are we going to talk about
special teams? Irving Fryer has a couple words.
We're
going to
talk about special teams. I want them special teams.
I think it's good to mention, too, Jason Kelce does tie Chuck Bednarik's record of 169 games played by an Eagles offensive lineman. So he'll break that record next, which is, which is absolutely outstanding. Which is even nuts, like you said earlier, Bednarik's playing both sides of the ball. How did he do this back then with no training? He was actually a neighbor of my mom's growing up. My aunt used to babysit his kids. Yeah, back in the day.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, the players weren't. He was the biggest guy.
Great story, Diaz.
Yeah. He was the biggest guy, but he was definitely getting pounded. I mean, I think what Jason Kelce does is amazing. He's still playing at such a high level, year 12, and he's still doing it. And he's having fun, and like
I think last year and this year are his best,
maybe
two best years.
There's no indication when he's going to stop playing
because he's not slowing down.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really enjoying this team.
He's having fun, yeah.
These wins, this offense is fun. The coaching staff is fun. He loves the way the fans are. I mean, I think everything is great in Jason Kelce's life.
Well, he's getting paid in kegs, right now?
He's getting paid in kegs. That's the extra. That's under the table.
I mean, we might lose him to a proficient singing career with that first single that came out the other day.
I cannot wait.
I listened to it all.
Has anybody heard that?
I have it. Yeah, I've got it.
Do we have it? Can we cue it up?
Yeah, I told Jansen to cue it up before. No, I'm just kidding. No, we don't have it.
There's a lot of great songs on that. I've heard three of them, and they're great. And
now, is it really them? Is it their voices? Or are they using electronics to modify it?
It's theirs.
Jason Lane and mostly Jason Lane and Jordan.
Yeah.
Mylotta.
No T-Pain auto-tune.
So Mylotta can really sing, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he can sing. Before Jordan was a good football player, and he was on the Eagles the first 2 years, like we did a Beach Blitz trip with him. And he brought his little ukulele, and he's awesome.
On our show, didn't he?
He was on The Masked Singer, too.
Yeah, he was on The Masked Singer. Yeah,
that's right. He did the show, didn't he?
Yeah, it was great. It was a bye week. He had some daddy sodas with us. He was on the injured reserve, you know? Man, Jordan Mylotta, can you, like...
Get him and The Rock together playing those little ukuleles.
Listen, one of the reasons the Eagles are so good right now is that they got, in a sense, lucky.
They did.
Fortunate. That they had a seventh-round draft pick in Jordan Mylotta, who turns out to be a high-caliber left tackle. Like, that doesn't happen.
Right.
So.
And an all-pro potential Hall of Fame six-round pick.
Six-round pick 2011, yeah.
That's amazing. It's good stuff. And then, and the guys, the depth pieces we have on the line, you know, if Driscoll comes in, I don't have any concerns about that.
I have no concerns about Cam Jurgens.
No, not at all. Yep. I mean, he's no better person to learn from than Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
We're talking special teams next segment. Let's talk a little about the defense, up and down. My comment here, a lot of short fields. A lot of short fields.
That was special teams.
Yeah, that doesn't let them off the hook all the way. They did have the two takeaways. My note here, they did give up 6 plays over 20 yards. I must have deleted it. I think they only have had, up until that point, like 12 in the entire season. So, you know, they 50% there. So what do you think about the defense? I mean, you know, the big plays happened. They did, the first couple drives, it was like, uh-oh, this is not the kind of game that I was expecting.
Yeah. I thought it was just a crazy first half, first of all. 20-20 at halftime, or 27-20 at halftime. The Eagles didn't play that great defensively at times, but they did have the takeaways. They did get better as the game went along. I thought Aaron Rodgers was really sharp throwing the football at times. He did have the two giveaways. Sometimes just you get into one of those left-handed games, and it was a warm night. Everybody was moving the ball up and down the field. I mean, the defense... I got to tell you, I just take it game to game. I really want this defense to hang in there until Davis gets back. Until I think they've missed Avante Maddox a lot.
I know you said hamstring
with Maddox.
I know, but is there a timetable?
Yeah,
I
don't see. He's eligible to play next week in New York.
Okay.
They Green Bay threw for 236 yards. 219 of those yards were between the hashes.
Yeah.
So yes, Maddox, and yes, Gardner Johnson, they've got it seems as though we missed them.
Very much so.
Definitely Maddox.
Once,
and then Yeah. You're just adding insult to injury.
So there's some holes in the middle that need to be filled.
Yeah. Dave, want your opinion on this here, because, you know, fans go crazy about this stuff, and you're a good pragmatic person,
yes,
and hit
thanks
us with reality.
I know
you're on John Clark's podcast earlier this week, he had Malcolm Jenkins, who actually has his foundation event over at Xfinity Live tonight. Malcolm's staying in shape, you know, would be open to an opportunity if the right one presents itself. Is this a realistic temporary solution?
Yeah, I don't think you sign a Malcolm Jenkins in a temporary situation. If you knew that Gardner Johnson wasn't coming back, maybe you consider it. But I also think there's an look. I don't know the situation, but I don't think you bring in an older guy right now. You know, this is a young man's game. No, it's a young man's game, and
they brought in Sue. They brought
not to cover in space.
Okay.
So Malcolm's a linebacker, and that's how he's played. And Eagles don't play their safety down in the box all the time. And Malcolm's a great player, all-time great player. But he is, in the last couple of years, he was playing down in the box as a quasi-linebacker.
Good in space.
And that's just not the way Gannon plays his safeties. They'll certainly have to help against the run. But you really want to find – you need somebody who's going to run – and I'm just not sure that that's this game right now.
This Titans game is tough, and you know, confident, but you know, not overconfident in this. We might be getting a little bit of a break with the upcoming schedule the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The Giants are all kind of beat up. They might be on their way out. You know, you still have to show up for the game. And then Chicago, I mean, they're just completely decimated.
Right. They're shocked. So yes, that's kind of how you have to look at it. But again, I could be wrong, but I don't get any indication that Malcolm is somebody that they're looking at right now.
Okay, so obviously Howie's always on the, you know, always trying to improve the team and everything like that. Safety was I think they played well this year so far, but the depth was always a concern. Now that depth is being tested, and they're the starters. Is there anyone on the practice squad? I mean, like, it's just a nerve. You got to go.
Andre Sachere. You know, Maddox can play safety when he comes back. Josiah Scott can move back and play safety.
Isn't this a spot where you would want Kayvon Wallace to come in?
Kayvon Wallace played some good reps the other night. You know, he needs to develop and really be a factor here in the next couple of weeks. He has to.
Yeah.
This is his time right now.
He's getting
the opportunity to play and to play significant reps, meaningful reps. And he had a really good pass breakup in the end zone against Green Bay. But he's got to be good. He's going to be playing a lot of snaps on Sunday against the Titans.
And this is the time of the year where a lot of teams are dealing with injuries and having to play their backups. And you've got to be able to juggle those guys around and have them prepared enough to win games until your starters can get back in the lineup.
We're going to come back on the other side and talk special teams for the Eagles. But before we do, Echelon Health and Fitness. Echelon Health and Fitness, located in Voorhees, New Jersey, voted the best gym in South Jersey 5 years in a row. Membership starting at $8.99 per month. Family and locally owned. Indoor track, newest cardio and strength training equipment. 3 studios, indoor pool, whirlpool, and dry sauna. Kids club, over 100 group fitness and Thrive personal training sessions per week. Class for seniors, real life fitness, MBSC, Thrive personal training, member perks, coming to Audubon, New Jersey, new location early 2023. Call 856-454-2976 for a free 30-day all-access pass, or go to echelonhf.com. This is the Green Legion Radio Player Show at Live Casino. We'll be right back after this.
This is Peanut Tillman, and I'm Roman Harper. My boy Peanut and I are here because we've...
Gotta keep them separated.
Green Legion Radio Player Show at Live Casino. We just had a defensive tackle, Milton Williams, on the show for the first hour. We're talking birds. This is Philly Mike Diaz, / Kyle Nonnemaker, the Reverend Dr. Irving Fryer, Eagles insider, Dave Spadaro.
I've never heard you referred to as Philly Mike.
Well, you know what, Dave, that means? That means that you're not following me on socials, on Twitter and
Correct.
Instagram.
Correct.
Yeah,
uh-oh.
At Philly Mike.
The only Philly Mike.
I'm not
going to
follow you.
Not Philly Mike 1, not Philly Mike 2.
Dave is busy. He's got
I don't follow people on social.
He's got more important things to do than to follow you on social media.
I just don't care. I mean, I love you.
Okay.
But I just don't care.
Thanks. That makes you feel great.
No. That's the way I follow, like,
You're building me up. Building me up to take me down,
Dave. I follow like 48 people only because I have to.
Whatever happened to calling people? Nobody calls anymore.
Yes, exactly.
Face-to-face interaction.
Dave never...
I don't want to see what you had for dinner.
Dave never...
I agree with, yeah.
Dave never answers my calls either, so that's where we are. You know,
Dave does answer calls.
Yes.
Dave does answer calls.
By legendary Eagles wide receivers, perhaps.
I deliver.
But not by Philly Mike.
Diaz, you have my number? Do you?
I don't think so. I don't know.
So there you go. Yeah.
There's a reason. I don't wanna, there's a reason for that.
I wouldn't bug you. I wouldn't bug you anyway.
I answer when Sam calls.
I have Dave's number.
Uh-oh.
Hold up for a second here. Sam doesn't call anybody. She just sits and waits for calls. She gets calls all day.
That's true.
She doesn't call out anyone. Anyway.
I call you and I have to correct something on the Facebook.
Okay, she's in position of power.
Yeah, she. I swear,
a woman with authority.
I post these things in the morning, and I'm like typing them all up, and I post them, and she follows me, Dave. You know why? Because 2 minutes after I go, and there's one spelling error, she's like, "Fix this now, or I'm going to kill you."
Today's spelling error was a big one.
H-O-M-O-E. I meant to spell home. I think everyone know what I meant.
No.
What did you put? H-O-M-O-E.
I added another...
He added an E in there by accident.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Speaking of corrections, what are we talking about here? We're talking about special
Dave's
teams.
Dave's pushing the content.
Yeah, hey, you guys, let me tell you. You tell me the solution. You tell me your thoughts and we'll talk about it. I mean, I don't think there's... It's not like you go out and sign two special teams aces. That are on the street.
Where's Devin Hester? Is he still helping?
It's not the return game we're talking about now, Slash. We're talking about the cover game.
No. Actually, I do want to talk about
I think
that.
It might be both sides.
Is it the cover game offense, the short field? There were three big kickoff returns in this game against Green Bay. And then the week before, against the Colts. Wait a minute. Against the Colts, there was a punt. Punted the ball. The receiver, the punt returner for the Colts, dropped the ball, then fumbled the ball. And nobody was anywhere near him.
The Eagles have allowed a long punt return of 17 yards this year. I think the number is they're allowing 7.4 yards per punt return.
And I'm not saying that's inaccurate. I'm just saying we have a weak special team.
And hang on. And so the average start field position, and I'm not defending it, but just pointing it out, the average starting defensive field position after a kickoff is like the 26.3 yard line or something, and the NFL average is the 25.1 yard line.
And what is the Eagles?
26.3
or 25. It's like this bell curve. Like there's the Texans lead the NFL in defensive starting position after a kickoff. It's the 22 yard line.
Okay.
So less than 5 yards. Difference is where the Eagles are. Now, that said, okay, get it. They had a bad game on Sunday night, no doubt. The only other kickoff they've returned that they've allowed that was not a good one was the Dallas Cowboys 63-yard return.
Right.
Other than that, they've been good. Now, it's got to be better. You want to be perfect. You've got to...
Because it will happen at the wrong time.
That's right.
When it happens at the wrong time, it will cost you the game.
When you put together a team and you got an offense that's averaging 28 points a game, and you got a defense that's giving up 17 points a game, and you're probably going to have 9 Pro Bowlers, 10 Pro Bowlers, I mean, there's going to be a spot where you go, we got to work on this. This is not perfect. So they've got to get it better with what they have.
Right. Well, they have to do it with what they have.
And I don't think it's putting starters on special teams. I don't want those guys getting hurt.
Mm-mm.
But these young guys got to step up and be better.
Well, special teams, particularly when you talk about coverage, kickoff coverage, punt coverage, that's desire, that's effort. It's not
necessarily. It's also discipline.
Well, it is.
Staying in your gap.
Right.
Gap
right.
integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like maybe guys are trying to make too many big plays.
That could be the case. I mean, they're second to last in kick coverage. They're 30th, and on the other side, 30th in kick returns, 27th.
Wait, second to last in kick coverage meaning what? No, they're not.
I looked it up today.
Well, what's the metric? Yards per return?
Yeah,
no.
Yards per return. Not average.
I saw something last week.
Now, I could be.
So if I kick it 8 yards deep in the end zone and you return it to the 22-yard line, that's a 30-yard return.
I don't think that. Yeah, I guess.
I saw those numbers that you mentioned, Diaz. I saw those last week as well.
I'm not meaning to interrupt you, but interrupt you. Yeah, that would be a 30-yard tier. Because if those guys are taking, they're going to take the ball out 7 yards deep in the end zone, they know it's because our special teams are weak. You know, most, if you're not, if you think you got a chance, you're going to return it. Otherwise, you're just going to down it. And it seems both kick return, punt return, kick coverage, both sides. You know, I don't want anyone losing their jobs or anything like that. That would be a stupid move to do right now. But I feel like this is a coaching thing. These guys just are the worst in the league on both sides.
Well, it needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed because it's becoming a problem.
Well, how do you address it, Coach Irv?
Well, like Diaz just said, you have to do a better job of paying attention to detail when the coaches are watching the film and coaching these guys up, staying in your lanes, like you said, giving more effort. Tackling when you do get to the ball carrier, there's a lot of things that you can look at to make sure you make improvements, because football in the game, it's about real estate. It's about where you start your drives and where you don't start your drives. And you want to give your offense an opportunity to go and have the shortest field possible.
Yeah, but where they start their drives is not the Eagles' start position. Look, it's in the bottom third. In the NFL, it's like the 24.3-yard line, but it's not like egregiously. It's like 3 yards worse than the best team. So you can give me all, like, there's different ways to slice it, but, like, that is not where the Eagles' defense is starting after kickoffs and where the Eagles' offense is starting after kickoffs. It is in the 20s, but it is not 30th in the league. And you cannot have the best offense in the league, the best defense in the league, you know?
Dave, why not? This is Philadelphia.
You can't. Philadelphia,
Dave.
Because there's a salary cap.
One of the
And you got to play. And look, when you look, sorry again for interrupting. When you look at who is on the field on special teams, they are all, look at who they are. Young guys and not like high draft picks. Like they're.
But those are the same guys. If something happens to one of the starters, they're the same guys that have to come in and play. So a team that has a great offense, a team that has a great defense, they have that great offense and great defense because they have great players. All right? So the special teams needs to step up because there should not be that big of a drop-off.
That I'm not disagreeing with. But, again, the Eagles have the best record in the NFL.
No, they do. I'm just – my concern is that this – issue with the special teams, whether it's coverage or whether it's the inability to return the ball, at some point my concern is that it's going to show up,
cost,
and it's going
game.
To bite them at the in the behind at the wrong time, and it's going to cost them.
Yeah, and I think I think the Eagles are very aware of it, and they're not dismissing it, and I think there's certainly an emphasis on getting it better, and let's hope it gets better. You got 6 weeks to get it better heading into the playoffs.
Well, it needs to get better this week.
Well, Tennessee has a good return team.
Yes.
And, look, they've already subbed out Boston Scott in for Britton Covey. There's a bit of improvement.
Is Boston doing punt returns as well?
No.
No, that was just kickoff returns.
Just kickoffs.
Yes.
And he's gotten better. They had some decent returns the other night.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I would love to have Cordero Patterson and Devin Hester and Deion Sanders and
What's
all
Dante
those guys.
Hall?
Don't have those
What's
guys.
Dante Hall?
Dante Hall. I was going to say, who is the Chiefs guy?
Yeah.
Dante
Urban Fryer was a pretty good punt returner, too.
Alan Ross.
Go.
I like that guy.
Show him what you got.
I like that guy. He
I got some old. I got some old reel to reel highlights of those times.
Yeah.
It is reel to reel.
Put in your playlist your 8-track.
Milton was talking about watching film and the detail of a guy's foot being in front or being staggered, and I didn't want to interrupt him, but I'm thinking to myself, our films, when we watched them, we couldn't see all that detail because it was real to real.
Yeah, right.
What is that?
It wasn't in HD.
Can you zoom in on that?
Is that a player? I don't even see. What is this?
Doc had to put an S splice in the film.
Yeah.
I do love when we have these players. And you didn't do it today, Irv, when we have the players on. And, you know, it's that meme, like, old man shaking his, like, these kids these days, you don't know what we got.
I try not to do that.
Oh, it's great, though.
I don't
want
to sound like a disgruntled old player.
You're not. You're in good spirits, but it's still funny to say.
But no, look, I mean, I agree. Special teams is an area that you want to get better. You have to get better. Michael Clay addressed the media today. You know, he knows it. They've got to get better in practice. So I'm interested to see how they do. I mean, everybody's eyes are on them. The scrutiny is there. The players have to have pride. There are players who have to understand that they are there on this team to play special teams.
Yep.
Yeah, there was a clip of Doc Rivers He was talking with Nick Sirianni about
know your role.
Know your role.
And this be a star in your role.
And this is what you do. This is what we need you to do. And special teams would be a perfect, perfect spot to do that because, you know, we're not complaining. 10-1. I am thrilled with this year. It's just that is, it's not even like the attrition of guys getting hurt. That happens in the league. It happens to everyone. So that's never an excuse. But this is just, you know, you see those returns against Dallas. You know, that return brought them back in the game. We felt like that game was over.
You know,
and it just, like, especially a game like this where we expect there to be a, hopefully an Eagles win, but like maybe 21-17 or, right, or 20-16, like a low scoring game, a big return, one gaffe like that, you know, that you could lose the game and you could lose the number one seed.
Right. It's not necessarily as big a deal if it happens once, like in the game, if they had returned the ball to the 40 one time, but it happened three times in the same game on this with the same team, meaning the kickoff return. So there's an issue there that should have been addressed there on the field during the game.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you have a good team when your number one issue or, you know, fix for the team is special teams, and it's nothing on offense, nothing on defense, nothing glaring. And it's just solely special teams. That's a sign that you have a pretty damn good team.
And I think also the point needs to be made that it's the Northeast and it's getting colder and Jake's not going to be able to kick the ball out of the end zone and there's going to be returns and
gotta stop him.
You know, you want Tennessee to earn every point that they get. You do not want to give them turnovers, you do not want to give them short fields after kickoffs and punt returns. And so, I mean, I think it's a very simple formula. I think everybody understands it. And this is where you kind of evaluate your coaches, and you evaluate Michael Clay right now, and you see what kind of adjustments, whether it's personnel, which I think is limited right now because there's just not a lot of options with so many injuries, and which players step up. Who wants to be the star on special teams? Sean Bradley, N'Kobe Dean. It's usually your linebackers, right, your wide receivers, your backup cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. And it's time for those guys to play disciplined, play physical, and play with a lot of hunger. Because this is, they should be, as Michael Clay said, Michael Clay said that they were embarrassed. And they were. Three bad kickoff coverage plays nearly cost the Eagles a game on Sunday night.
Speaking of special teams plays costing a game, Tennessee lost last week because of a special team roughing the kicker call. Let Cincinnati run the clock out. That was a tough game. Since Tennessee has lost two in a row now, right?
No, they beat Green Bay the week before.
Okay, yeah, right.
And they beat Denver the week before that.
Yeah, they win the mini bye.
They're 7-4. They're a good team.
Right. The team that's closest to them is 4-7.
Yeah, they're winning their division, no problem. And they're going to play this. We know what kind of ball they're going to play. They're going to be really physical. They're going to be really ugly. It's not going to be a 40-17 game on Sunday. It's going to
be. What
do you mean? It's going to be a. It's going to be a 24-17, 24-20 kind of game.
The Eagles open at 6.5-point favorites. Then went.
Is
down
that right?
Then it went down to 5.5.
Why?
First off, the Eagles are, you know, not the biggest public team, but they are a public team. People like to bet on them here in town, so I think they get a little jump. But it did fall down a whole point.
Live Casino here in Philadelphia, I think they're like a 25-point favorite.
That's some. I don't know if they're going to get those.
Yeah.
at their sports book. Let's talk about what we expect from the Tennessee game and get some picks. Talk about NFL when we come back.
But we're talking about A.J. Brown playing against his former team.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely. And what he went through last week, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But before we do, here at Live Casino Philadelphia, World Soccer Tournament watch parties presented by Budweiser at Sport and Social. Cheer on Team USA on our 52-foot big screen. Enjoy giveaways including Team USA scarves and bags, contests and trophies, $5 Budweisers for every game, Monday mug nights every Monday night at Sport and Social, $7 beer mugs, $6 cocktails, Taco Tuesdays every Tuesday at Sport and Social, taco specials and margarita flight specials. Sam, get me a margarita
every week
flight.
You should come. You miss out.
Sam, you can make a run for us, a taco run. UFC, FanDuel Sportsbook and Sport and Social brings the ultimate fight night viewing to you. Don't miss a moment of the action of upcoming UFC fights on our 24 TVs and 52-foot big screen, UFC 282, Saturday, December 10th. UFC 283, Saturday, January 21st. Visit SportsSocialPhilly.com for all upcoming events. This is the Player Show on Fox Sports The Gamble. We'll be right back after this.
This is Peanut Tillman, and I'm Roman Harper.
It's the Green Legion Radio Player Show from Live Casino on Fox Sports The Gambler. This is our last segment of the evening. And as we were going from the last, at the end of the last segment, Dave, yeah. I do want to talk about the AJ Brown revenge game that's coming up this week against Tennessee. I'm sure he wants to ball out against them. But before we do, this game kind of, it's one of those things where, you know, the players don't like to talk about stuff before the game. And after the game, we found out that, you know, yeah, he did have a food poisoning, some sort of stomach bug. But that he lost 7 pounds during the week?
Yeah, he burst a blood vessel in his eye.
We're losing Herb. Was that me?
Hop on that mic next to you.
Just what they saw.
There you go.
Yeah, sure. I thought I saw his eye was red when he was sitting on the sidelines. Yeah,
he bursted yakking.
And, you know, you losing 7 pounds, you lose energy, you lose strength, you lose everything.
Yeah.
And for a lot of that game, he just didn't look like A.J. Brown, did he?
Yeah.
The fumble, too. I mean,
the fumble was weird.
I think he's, like, he did the same thing the week before in the middle of the field. When you're catching the ball in the middle of the field, what I found to be more effective is to get your feet on the ground and to be the hammer, not the nail. In other words, to initiate contact. He was trying to do a little bit too much, a little dancing around in there, and gave the defense, because you're in the middle of the field, there's danger all around you, he gave the defensive players a little bit more of an opportunity than he needed to get that ball out.
But I will say that he showed me a lot coming back so quickly, getting a couple catches after that, and then the touchdown. It's not easy coming back, getting your head screwed up. And AJ is just such a focused guy. So I love that, but I think this week it's really special for him. And I know that he did not leave Tennessee in a bad relationship situation with his teammates. But I think he felt that, and Irv, you may have felt this in your career, where a team just didn't want you. He wanted a new contract. He made that public.
A fair contract.
And the Tennessee Titans did not want to pay somebody who they felt had a history of injury. And so they took a first-round pick and a third-round pick and turned that into Treylon Burks. And I don't even know what they did with a third-round pick.
Is it the next year?
Is it next year?
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
And, I mean, I don't know. Did you ever feel not wanted?
Not necessarily by a team.
We love you, Irv.
That's for another podcast.
Sam and I was talking about this earlier. One of the biggest pills I've had to swallow was realizing that people that meant something to me, I didn't mean anything to them. So yeah, I felt unwanted before, but not necessarily by a team. No.
And not here.
It's Tennessee, they just have to feel like that's one of the biggest mistakes, along with Green Bay and Davante Adams, and to a lesser extent, probably Kansas City with Tyreek Hill. Kansas City's playing great. They got Pat Mahomes. And Tyreek Hill's he's going to have 2,000 yards receiving this year.
And a guy like A.J. Brown, who does a lot of his damage after the catch, who does a lot of his damage between the hashes, there's a lot of hitting going on. He's going to get bruised. He's going to get beat up. He's going to miss some time every now and then. So to label him as a guy who is injury prone, I don't think that was necessarily fair on the Titans' part.
What was that? He was drafted in 19, so he had 3 seasons, and he did miss COVID. Yes. He missed like 7 games or something like that. Yeah. And he's had little dings and stuff, but it's football. I mean, you know, it's football. He's a physical player. It's what his skills are, and it's not, you know, it doesn't mean that he, you know, you give him all the money in the world or anything. But, you know, I think, you know, we all felt that that was a fair contract to pay for him. We all felt that so far. He's proven his worth. My question is, on the Tennessee side, Dave, all the reports are exactly what Dave said, is that, you know, AJ kind of goes 50-50 where he says there's no hard feelings, and then he's like, I kind of want to get after them. Probably more of the front office ownership than the actual players. But when you're in a situation from the opponent, Do they do anything? Is it just like, this is another game for us? We want to stop A.J. Brown because we also want to stop Devontae Smith and Miles Sanders and Jalen Hurts. They're not doing anything special. Yeah.
No, they just want to
come and win the game. Right.
Yeah, by the way, the trade was for the Eagles' first-round pick this year and the number 101 pick overall, third-round pick this year as well. Okay. And I think the Titans traded that pick. I'm looking it up. I don't know what they did with it. But, yeah, the Titans need to win the game. They've been playing, you know, not really great football. They were 0-3 in the red zone on Sunday in Cleveland, in Cincinnati, against Cincinnati at home. They're jockeying. They're going to win their division, but they're jockeying for some home field. And they want to win the game. They know that the Eagles have a ton of weapons. And A.J. Brown, while it is a fan story, I don't think it's a Mike Vrabel story. And I also don't think it's fair to, I'm sorry to labor, guys, my voice is a little shaky here. I don't think it's fair to label.
Soldier on, Dave, you got it.
Thank you, Sam. I don't think it's fair to label the trade right now either, because if Treylon Burks becomes a great wide receiver, then Tennessee's going to be really happy with the draft, with the trade. Right now, the Eagles are very happy with the A.J. Brown trade. Immediate dividends, Eagles are 10-1. Brown's going to be a beast moving forward, going to be a great weapon in the playoffs.
I guess so. But also, Tennessee, they were the one seed 2 years ago, or last year. I mean, they are built to win now, and maybe Treylon Burks is a good player in a few years. And none of these guys are going to be here. You know, it's kind of, you traded A.J. Brown in the hopes that you got someone that's A.J. Brown, when you had A.J. Brown. You know what I mean? It's kind of like... Yeah, but they, you know, they're designed to win now. That's what the team is, and we know the NFL flips pretty quickly. I mean, 2 years ago, where the Eagles were, what they finish at 4-12 that year, 4-12 something like that.
Doug Peterson's last year,
5-11.
Gosh, it seems like 3 million.
Yeah,
years
it was
ago.
Only 2 years ago.
I think it was 4-12.
I think it was 4-12.
18 months ago. You know, so it could turn around quickly. So yeah, we'll see. But
Diaz, you talked about the story in the story, not necessarily being with AJ Brown in the front office. Down with the Titans, but there is a story within the story when you're playing against your former teammates. So there is a little extra that will be going into the game because he was going up against defensive backs that he was a teammate with. Now he knows them, they know him. So there will be a little extra, and there's a little extra in it for him.
Was that, I'm going to ask you that question, because you've drafted by the Patriots.
Yep.
Went to Miami Dolphins playing with Dan Marino. You feel that same way when you play the Patriots twice a year?
Of course. Every time I played the Patriots, I knew those guys, and I wanted to do extra against those guys. When I left Miami and came here to Philadelphia, first game we played against Miami, I scored 4 touchdowns. So there's always a little extra in it for yourself because you're going against guys that, you know, you fought with, but now you're going against, and you kind of know them, too.
How do you, and I think AJ is an emotional guy, how do you keep your emotions even for that kind of game? Or do you not?
You don't. You let it flow. You let it fly. You go out and do what you do and do it as fast as you can, as much as you can. Because you want to
How do you not let that become too much then?
I think guys who make it to this level, they're always emotional. There's always that balance you got to find when you're playing in the game, particularly as the games become more important. And there's always someone across the field from you that, whether it's a guy you played with previously or whether somebody that you played before in other games that maybe have given you problems or got the best of you at one point. So you're always trying to balance yourself between emotions and, you know, allowing yourself to go ahead and flow and turn it loose so things are just coming to you naturally.
It seems that Sirianni, you had 4 touchdowns versus the Dolphins when you first came here.
Yep, I had three against New England when I first played them.
So I don't know Nick Sirianni, never talked to him, but just, you know, from all appearances, it seems like this would be a game that they would try and target A.J. Brown for, you know, a couple big plays, touchdown. I mean, they would do that anyway, but this is a kind of a special one. It looked like they're trying to get Zach Pascal, you know, into the end zone in Indianapolis. Is that just stupid fan talk? Or
probably.
Okay.
Well, it does happen.
That's what I asked you for.
Next question.
When I was here and John Gruden was the offensive coordinator, he purposefully made sure I got the ball when we played the Dolphins.
So yeah, but you were happen. The only, you were, Chris T. Jones wasn't over there complaining about not getting the ball. All right.
I remember Chris T. Jones.
I didn't want to say that.
Because yeah. Everyone thought Devontae, his name was Chris T. Jones.
When you have a chance to throw to Devontae Smith and you have a, and their cornerbacks are, one is decent, one's not all that great, you got good matchups.
Throw it.
Throw it to Devontae.
That's right.
We only got a couple minutes here on our last segment, so I want to ask you this here. Who's the biggest, bigger threat here in the NFC East? The Commodes or the Giants?
For sure, Washington. I think New York, we have talked about it all year. Their margin for error is very, very narrow.
And they're beat up right now.
They're beat up. Their defense took a big hit when Xavier McKinney went ATV on his bye week and broke his hand or broke fingers or whatever he did on his hand. And he's been out. They don't score touchdowns. They run the ball. That's all they do. They don't throw. They've got tons of injury at wide receiver. And Washington's playing good, solid football. And, credit to Ron Rivera, that team is heading to the playoffs.
He takes out. Right now, we're all in the playoffs, all in the
season. Yeah, I do. I'm not sure the Giants are going to make it. I think the Giants are really going to struggle to hang on. And the fact that they weren't flexed out, maybe they will be the last game of the season, but they're seen as a team that's on the rise. I think that they're seen as a team that's going the other direction.
One thing that I did not notice, I saw when we say, oh, the NFC East, you know, best division football. There's only been six intra division games. I mean, we played three of them. We played Dallas once, the Washington twice. But there haven't been, the Giants haven't played the Redskins at all. The Giants haven't played us at all.
It's about
to, Washington football team.
Did I say Redskins? I'm sorry.
It's about to go down, though, sure. This second half of the season. It's going to all go down. It's going to shimmy out, and we'll find out who's going to be standing when the smoke clears.
Well, hopefully the next time that we are back here at Live Casino, next Tuesday at Green Legion Radio Players Show, we will we'll be 11-1.
Yeah,
with 11-1's nice.
With Kaiser White here.
Kaiser White,
nice. Starting outside linebacker.
Nice. Everybody loves linebackers. Oh my gosh, someone's gonna have to get a raincoat.
Gonna have
for
to be a big game for the linebackers this week. So,
all right. Well, listen, we're wrapping up here. Let me just take care of little business.
Yeah, take care of business, baby.
Take care of my business. Live Casino Hotel in Philadelphia. Some casino programs. New members play $500 on us. Sign up for a Live Rewards card at the Live Rewards desk as a new member. We will rebate your losses on your first trip up to $500. Must be 21 or older. Park for free on game days. Gold card members and above receive free parking on Eagles game days. That's worth it, man. Parking is expensive around here. Classic card members get reimbursed in free slot pay for the parking fee. Naughty or nice drawing. Sam.
Stop looking at me.
Earn entries beginning Thursday, December
1st. Impossible.
Through Sunday, December 25th for your chance to win your share of $60,000 in prizes or the grand prize of a BMW X3. Visit livecasino.com for details. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We have any last comments from the panel?
Go Birds. Can be a great one on Sunday.
Go Birds. Thank you very much. Milton Williams for taking the time to hang with us. Thanks, Dave, for showing up and soldiering on through your coughing and your illness.
Trying times.
As always, big thanks, Eagles legendary wide receiver Irving Fryer. Woo-hoo. We missed you.
I'll be there Sunday.
Super Sam.
Sunday.
Kyle / Donamaker. Everyone at The Gambler, this is Philly Mike. Shut up, Diaz. Have a great night. We will see you next week here at Live Casino with the 11-1 Birds coming down the stretch run with Kaiser Wright. This is the Green Legion Radio Players Show on Fox Sports The Gambler. Good night.
Hey, Sixer fans, it's Matt Cord for the Bet Parks app, the official winning partner of your Philadelphia 76ers. The Bet Parks.